It's good to see each one of you here this morning. Those who are visiting, we appreciate your presence as well. Many of you may have heard of the situation on a Sunday morning, about 15 minutes before services were going to begin. A man is sitting at home and he has his robe and his pajamas on. Or I guess it'd be his pajamas and his robe on. And his wife is rather concerned about it. He's just sitting there, very glum, not getting ready for church. And she goes and she's been talking to him in the time she's been getting ready. And his response has been things like, "There are people there that don't like me. There are people there that aren't as friendly as they could be to me, and I'm friendly to them. There are people there that I think may even be talking behind my back. I just don't want to go anymore. My energy is just exhausted, and that's it. I'm not going to church." And so finally at quarter till, she does go before him with his clothes, and she says, "Look, get ready. You're the preacher." The reality is, even preachers reach low points spiritually within their lives. And I suspect each and every one of us, if we're honest about it, find ourselves in that kind of situation from time to time. And we become aware of it. And at times we flounder when we find ourselves in that position. And at times we may even let it go to the point of leading us into a complete abandonment of God. But I would hope that when that happens, we will turn to one another and we will turn to God's Word and we'll re-energize ourselves. Our bulletin is described as exhortation to eagles. And it is taken from Isaiah, the 40th verse, chapter and verse 31. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." A number of you are aware of the fact that I have that inscription in a couple of different forms in gifts that have been given to me by Christians over the years. I have an embroidered picture of an eagle soaring with this passage to the side from some ladies. From three couples, they took a large vase and had someone etch the passage within the vase. Another gave me a gift of a picture of a wing of an eagle soaring. This passage means a lot to me because it was suggested to me by my mother, who passed away last month, as most of you know. And that's why when I've had the right to set what the bulletin was going to be, and there were a couple of occasions where they already had their name and I wasn't going to try to rock the boat, I've used exhortation to eagles. And the idea behind it is a reminder to us and the importance of being lifted up in our service to God. If you read the bulletin, pay attention to it, the front section is something that I write, and it's always from a particular passage, and it's not very long. And I always try to make it something that is encouraging to you, and encouraging to me as I write it, that we might be re-energized in our service to God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, and that is the importance of being re-energized. And recognize that if you found yourself in a spiritual slump, you are not alone. I have already confessed that I've found myself in that position. And others around you probably would confess the same to you. I've never gotten to the point where Connie had to lay the clothes out in front of me immediately and say, "Get ready right now." Now, because I dress so well, Connie has laid out the clothes in front of me. There's no doubt about that. But I want you to understand that you don't need to feel like you're an oddball because you've allowed yourself at times, or the circumstance of life has brought you to a low to where you feel that indeed you have lived to the spiritual heights that you will ever live, and now you are in the spiritual depths that you can't find your way out of. That just is not true. There is indeed a promise of hope for us. And the idea of weariness for us in all aspects of life are undoubtedly there and undeniable. They certainly are from a physical perspective, as we find ourselves at times working very hard and being exhausted. Sometimes we'll even work and play so hard that the weekend that was intended to refresh us leaves us at a point on Monday morning of saying, where did the weekend go? People are making multi-millions of dollars trying to sell beds that will get you the rest that you're not getting because of the mattress you're sleeping on. You can count the numbers to get the rest you want. We happen to have a Sleep Number bed. I won't tell you my sleep number. It's not relevant to the sermon. I can get an orthopedic bed that conforms to my body, just like the Sleep Number bed and cheaper. The orthopedic bed that does that, or the whatever. Because we're not getting the rest we need. We're letting our minds get into the things that get us down when we're ready to go to sleep, and rest doesn't come for us. So it's not always that we have worked so hard that our bodies can't rest. In fact, usually that's just the opposite. But rather our minds won't shut down and give us the rest that we need. And so we drag out of bed in the morning, unrefreshed, and yet the day is before us. The sleep that we had hoped would give us the energy for the day is not with us. And so we find at times that we've got to have that cup of coffee or two or three. We chase that deeper and deeper coffee with its caffeine, and I'm not preaching against it. In fact, just in the few last couple of years, I've started drinking coffee after a lifetime of not drinking it. And I haven't figured out whether the dark coffee gives me more energy than the light coffee. It's a mystery to me. We look for ways to be strengthened and renewed within our lives. And those are all physical things. But what I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning is the importance of the spiritual weariness that comes to most all of us. And I've put on the screen that all of us face it, so that if you're that fortunate one that has not yet had that spiritual weariness, I will tell you right now that it's coming. But do not be discouraged by it. But recognize that while it may be coming, there is going to be an answer to it. Life indeed is spiritually draining. Because we have sin around us, and we are aware of that sin, even when we ourselves are not dealing with that sin, we have loved ones who are dealing with that sin, people that are close to us that are dealing with that sin, and that takes a toll on us. We may have a couple that are very dear to us that we know their marital problems that may be even leading to divorce. We know a couple of people that are dear friends that have found themselves getting caught up in a fornicating relationship with another individual. We may find someone who is getting caught up in a homosexual relationship with another. And all of these are going to be pulling at us spiritually and discouraging us. So life indeed is spiritually draining. And I think that most individuals, most humans recognize that indeed that's going to happen to us. And yet we recognize also that that awareness makes us different than any other creature on earth. They have found through photography that there are some predatory cats in Africa and other places that until recently men weren't aware of it, women weren't aware of it. They actually will kill among their own species, among their own breed, simply to kill them. They don't have an awareness of what's going on within other places. We as human beings do. We have an awareness of ourselves and the sins of others. We have an awareness of our own sins. Ironically, that's what makes us unique. Because God has given us that spirit and that ability to have the awareness. And so, while inside we become tired, we need to recognize that there is something out there that will strengthen and rejuvenate us. Indeed, we understand that life depletes the spiritual resources within us. But it doesn't have to be forever. You know, Job found himself in that situation when he says there in Job 10 verse 1, "My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." We can look at that particular passage and we say, indeed, Job, yes, you could do that because of all that had been going on in your life. But while we have not lost all of our wealth and all of our children and everything else that we loved and possessed, while we didn't have a spouse that says, "Curse God and die," we've all had that Job moment in the weariness of our soul. We need to recognize that indeed, the question is before us, can this world re-energize us? And we need to answer that immediately by recognizing that the earthly things will never re-energize us. I got a letter this past week that excited me tremendously. The letter has told me that I have three numbers unique to anybody else in the world from Publishers Clearing House. And there are a very small group of us that have those three numbers. And I was oh so excited until somebody told me that they got the letter too. And it didn't have the name Joe Shane on it. So apparently, there may be some others. But you know something? If I won, it'd be a shock. But it wouldn't change a need if I had it within me for spiritual rejuvenizing, energizing. Because money's not going to do it. The possession of things is not going to do it. And I know sometimes that's a blunt reality to people because many times, and especially because of the world we live in, we seem to be promised that if we'll buy this cream, if we'll buy these pills, if we'll go to this spa, if we'll take this vacation, we will indeed be rejuvenated, re-energized. And while physically we may be, it doesn't help the soul. It doesn't change the things that need to be changed, most importantly within us, that may be causing the depletion within us. Let's look at what the wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. We'll read a couple of the passages there. There are a number of them we could have chosen. In fact, even as of last night, I scratched a few off because I want to keep the sermon within a reasonable time. There in verse 3 of chapter 1 in Ecclesiastes, "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" Things that we have only partially restore any energy within us. In the 8th verse of that same chapter, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." Over in chapter 2 and verse 11, "Then I looked at all the works that my hands had done, and all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." Written by the man who built the most spectacular temple as a dwelling place for Jehovah God on this earth. Peter tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter in the 18th verse, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers." Those things that you get, those things that you inherit, those things that you earn are not going to be the spiritual things you need to rejuvenate, to revitalize your life. Life indeed is overwhelmingly oppressive. The things that happened in France, the things that happened in Texas and up in the north. I've quit reading the news, so I'm kind of only vaguely aware of those things. But it just reminds us of how overwhelming evil is within this world. And therefore to think that somehow those things that possess such evil are going to be the source of those things which will lift us up spiritually is in and of itself, on its face, a ridiculous idea, a ridiculous hope to have within our lives. And we must keep that in mind. We recognize that indeed, when we try to find refreshment to the soul, if we look to the physical, we will fail. But when we look to the spiritual, for the spiritual needs within us, we indeed are going to succeed. This life takes more than it gives. The 3 points that I've made here are quite depressing. But they're only depressing to remind us that they're not what we need in re-energizing who we are and what we are about. You know, even in the case of in the Old Testament, when Rebekah was looking for a wife for her son, she said to Isaac, "I am weary in my life because of the daughters of Heath, the women that were around her that might be chosen for her son. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heath, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" It needs to weary us if we find our children or our spouses or those who are dear to us constantly looking to a sense of betterment in life and therefore a better attitude about life and therefore a better spiritual attitude. If they're looking to the physical things, we need to take those points and remind them it's not going to work. Because the answer to the question, can this world re-energize us spiritually? The answer is no. The true energy is in the Word of God. The true energy comes from the Holy Spirit. And I don't use that in the sense the charismatic world does to mislead us, but rather to find it in the Word as we grow as children of God. Then the Word and the Holy Spirit in that Word is indeed going to re-energize us. God is the giver of the rest that counts for our souls. And in giving that rest, we are going to find the satisfaction that is needed. Even in the Old Testament, as He talked with Israel, whether it was in Isaiah or Jeremiah or other passages, I've chosen Jeremiah 31. When Judah is going to be returning to the land in 31:25, "For I have satisfied the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul." That was the promise God gave to Judah of the prosperity that was going to come to them if they would follow Him upon their return out of their 70 years of captivity. I think we can draw from that a promise of spiritual prosperity. If we indeed need to be energized, re-energized, and drawn out of whatever complacency is within our lives. Open your Bibles to Acts, the second chapter. We get caught up in Acts, the second chapter, and the conversion that takes place there as they interrupt Peter, as Peter's preaching to the Jews of Jerusalem, while the other apostles had been preaching to people from all over the world in their languages, and Peter may have been doing some of that preaching as well. But as they were mocked, Peter addresses the people of Jerusalem. And he tells them about Messiah and the coming of that one that they had looked for. And he tells about them having put Him to death. And he tells about the fact that He is not seeing corruption, and that indeed He is the Lord who reigns with God. And beginning in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Now look at this. They were so impressed by the lesson that they interrupted Him to say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter responds by telling them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many who has called on the Lord. That includes us. So when we go to the New Testament, when we go to the Word, that promise of energizing is there. And let us remember that it didn't stop as they responded to Him, as they responded to that message. We read on in the text as it talks about the fact that indeed, in verse 40, "And with many other words He testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' And then when these who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly." Here's where the energizing takes place. And it's still true for you and I today. The energizing takes place when we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. We don't have that blessing today, but we have the blessing of what the apostles taught in accordance with the Holy Spirit that was sent by Christ, who had been given all authority by God. And so it goes on to say, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What occurred at Pentecost is the same answer for you and I, both to become a child of God, and if we find ourselves spiritually depleted, going back into that Word to be strengthened and to be refreshed. Peter says in Acts 3, verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Whether that is talking about an immediate sense or the day of the judgment when we will have that eternal rest is for debate and discussion. But there is a refreshing that is being promised. The re-energizing is really quite simple if you think about it. Come to church. Come to church when you don't feel like it. Come to the assembly when you think, I'm just not there spiritually. Even if you think you've already checked out, come to church. Hear the Word. Hear the songs of praise. Hear the prayers that are offered. And sometimes the prayers are going to be offered to people on account of people who are in the audience that the one who offers the prayer isn't even aware of. But come to church. Read your Bible. These are the simple things. It isn't rocket surgery. God made it very simple for us. If we gather with the saints, we're going to get strength. I tell you, brethren, and I tell you, my sisters, you don't know how encouraging it is for me on Sunday morning as we're gathered, as I get ready to come up here to speak. Because I have had those Sunday mornings when I was at a spiritual low. Even having prepared the lesson, and in doing so, finding encouragement in it, but it's up here on the podium. Yeah, it's in my heart, but when I sit down there and I start to hear the prayers, and I start to hear, and I don't want you to worry, this isn't every Sunday, but I hear the song sung, those times when I'm feeling low because of something going on spiritually with somebody, they're set aside. And I'm rejuvenated. And I'm lifted up. I told you that my mother gave me Isaiah 40:31 as a passage to contemplate early in preaching. When I was in the service, they gave me the New American Standard. It had just come out. And a hardback copy of it. And when I was on duty counting the people that went to chow, I could sit there with my Bible and read. And one of the passages my parents suggested to me, and I would read often, and I've mentioned it to you from time to time, is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And then it goes on, talk about all the things that are wonderful in my service to God. And that refreshes us. Pray throughout the day. These are things you hear. You've heard these all your life. But they are true. Talk to God. At your lowest, talk to God. As was mentioned in Bible class, He hears. And while He does not talk to us as He did Abraham and as He did for Noah, as was pointed out during the class, He hears us. He's aware that we're talking to Him. And oh, what a wonder it is. Take the opportunity to share Christ at every opportunity. I think we get lazy about that. I think we get complacent about it. But I think we need to be wise about it as well. Because sometimes we can so overwhelm somebody with our idea of sharing Christ that they are just whoosh and it does no good. I've done that at times. And I pray to God for wisdom. That I won't give that baby a drink of water from a wide open fire hydrant. That sometimes I'll be wise enough to know that I'm just going to get to throw a little seed in here. I'm just going to throw a little water on that seed. They're not going to get the whole thing at once. I pray to God often for wisdom in that. And I pray to God that I'm better than I used to be about it. But share them. Share those opportunities. I would hope the lesson this morning in some small way has re-energized you. No, I'll take it back. I hope that if you needed it, that in some large way, the message has re-energized you this morning. And that you remember what is said there in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you tasted of the good life of the Word of God? We are reminded that we are saved by grace, as is said there in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 8. The grace was as depicted on the picture behind me of the 3 crosses. The grace was the fact that Christ was on that middle cross, dying for my sins, shedding His blood, that I might have the hope of eternal salvation. Where are you this morning in relation to salvation? The blood has been shed. Are you aware that you're in darkness? Do you need to come to the light of Jesus Christ? It is not complicated, it is simple. And if you understand what is necessary, we would hope that this day we would witness your burial with Him in baptism, that you might rise to walk in newness of life. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.